Good morning. Welcome into In Focus, your news radio KMAN here on a Thursday morning, Christmas Eve. And we are going to be talking about a wonderful program here in our community coming up in this next segment. Stacy Tidwell is my guest. She joins us via Zoom. She's the Deputy Director of Youth Services. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And of course, Manhattan listeners know you pretty well. If they remember, you used to work with Sunflower Casa here in the community.
I did. It's been a couple of years. I miss it quite a bit.
Well, I wanted to bring you on here today because I got tipped about a great program here in our community, and it seemed perfect for the holidays to talk about. It's actually called Hope for the Holidays, and I understand it began about 15 years ago, and you were the one who kind of got things rolling here locally.
It did. I had, at that point, recently transitioned to working with young people in the Independent Living Program, and I had a couple of young people that had transitioned from foster care into adulthood approach me and ask if I was going to help them out during the holidays like the foster care providers had, and kind of had this light bulb moment that our young people are transitioning out of care into the world without the needed supports, the vital supports to, you know, even just live successfully. But then also those small things that end up being big things, like celebrate the holidays with family, have meals together, have, you know, someone get you a birthday present, get you, whether you celebrate Christmas or other holidays, get you things that recognize those different events in your life. And so I had originally sent these young people to local places to get sponsored for the holidays and two different communities. I covered quite a few counties at that point, had both of the young people return and say that they had been rejected from the local community event because neither one of them had children. Mm-hmm. And so it really sparked out of kind of my stubbornness and determination that I would find a way to figure out how to meet their needs if we weren't able to meet them within different community sponsored events. And so Hope for the Holidays began, and you know, it's turned into just such a wonderful event with our young people.
Yeah, we saw recently here that just this week there was an announcement made of just how much was raised here locally. I think it was close to $6,000 or maybe a little more than $6,000 to help benefit those transitioning youth. What a great opportunity here. And this is done through some local churches.
It is. So incredibly thankful over all the continued support that we've seen over the years. Some of the earliest supporters, of course, I worked in the Manhattan office. So many of our original entities that joined in to help out are from the Manhattan community in the very early years. And I want to say that it's probably 15 years that we have had support of Hope for the Holidays from like the First United Methodist Church, the Seven Dollars Parish. This year we had Little Apple Pride join us and provide support. And, you know, it just leaves me in a state of gratitude and awe. And it's one of those times of year that just absolutely fills my heart with such joy. You know, our young people are usually, you know, very surprised that there's people out there that are willing to support them and cheer them on. And, you know, this year we've asked for messages to come with the gift cards due to COVID. Just offering them words of encouragement, letting them know that there are other people out there cheering them on for them to, you know, go on and live constructive, productive adulthood. So it's absolutely phenomenal. And I continue to be incredibly grateful to all those entities that continue to support us year after year.
You know, it's a lot of us are so fortunate in our lives to have, you know, had the opportunity to be with family at the holidays, and especially at the age of coming into adulthood, young adulthood and late teenage years, those can be really tough times, especially being alone. What are some of the stories you hear from those folks about trying to make that transition out and into independent living, I guess would be the correct word?
You know, there's just so many things that you take for granted that you learn through multiple layers of your support system. You know, I think back to 18 and my own personal experiences and who were key players for me in supporting me. You know, my parents, my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, you know, that extended family that really ends up becoming this wonderful network that comes in and surrounds you that our young people really struggle not having. You know, I was working with a young person who was struggling with just something that was very basic, such as hygiene. And we continued to provide hygiene products. And this young person continued to struggle. And, you know, it took a series of meetings to finally start asking the right questions. You know, are you using the deodorant? How are you using the deodorant? And the young person had read the back of the label of the deodorant and was applying it to the underside of their lower arm and not where their armpit was, based upon the instructions and not seeing other individuals and supportive people in their lives utilize those kind of products. It was a big kind of learning curve. You know, I also had a young person I worked with who was struggling with managing a health condition. They had juvenile diabetes, and, you know, coming into that world, not having others around you to kind of really provide that supportive network with the diabetes, this person was looking at the instructions and it was saying take two a day, and not understanding that it was take one in the morning and take one at night. They were really, really struggling with health ailments, things like how to do your laundry, you know, and how you separate colors from whites. And sometimes you end up learning that the hard way. All those basic kind of little nuggets that, like I said, you learn through seeing others doing it, others that come in and teach you. You know, I have a story where I think of the first year that I was in college and I had to file taxes for my first time. And the first person I picked up the phone and called was my dad. Dad, I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to start these kind of forms. You know, our young people really need that type of support and that guidance. And, you know, it takes, you know, having someone there to support you and to hold your hand and to walk alongside you to the point that you can get to doing it on your own. And, you know, it's really come down to 20 years working with teenagers and young adults. It's all about that supportive person that believes in you, that is there for you, that is that person that you can pick up the phone and ask all those different types of questions. Okay, hey, what do I do with this? You know, like even during Thanksgiving, how do I make a turkey? What? I have to take things out from the inside of the turkey. I have to defrost it for a week. I mean, those are all, you know, different life lessons that our young people sometimes miss out on, which is very unfortunate.
And imagine this year has probably been even tougher on individuals that are transitioning out of the foster care system. But what has it been like? Because it's already, you know, we're already being told to isolate and stay home and not go to gatherings. But for folks who don't have much of a family, I mean, what are the challenges that this year's presented?
You know, I have really seen what I would consider to be profound loneliness, but I don't think it's something that's particular just to our young adults that have transitioned out of care. I mean, I think there are older adults that have faced the same exact kind of challenges. And how do you connect and staying engaged and still feeling supportive and still feeling loved? And, you know, we've really had to try and evolve how we do the work that we do and how we engage with young people, utilizing things like Teams, face-to-face meetings, face-to-face time through social media. We have what we can call our Kansas Youth Advisory Council and our Regional Youth Advisory Council, where we come together with young people all across the state of Kansas, and we've been able to do that through Zoom. We most recently had a holiday party via Zoom where each of the young individuals that participated was mailed a holiday box. And while we were on Zoom, we did a craft, we played holiday music, they had little meditation books and coloring pens and, you know, just fun items in there that we all could get together and experience the same thing, but socially distanced while on Zoom.
Okay. Well, if people hear this interview here this morning and they think, well, that's something I'd like to learn more about and help out where I can, how would somebody go about doing that here locally?
Locally, they can reach out to myself. My email is Stacy, Stacy dot Tidwell, Tidwell, at ks.gov. I would encourage anyone who wants to be supportive of our young people experiencing foster care and our young people transitioning from foster care to get involved. You know, we need to be supporting our families in the first place that are struggling out there in our communities and doing whatever we can. So I would say if you're willing and able, go out and volunteer at a food bank or donate to a food bank. Support a foster family that's out there. Bring them a warm cooked meal. Send them a pizza dinner one night so they can get a break. And all the way to become a foster parent, become an adoptive parent. We have young people out there that are waiting for forever families. So there are so many things that you can do to come alongside the children, youth, and families in Kansas that are needing your support,
and
especially during this time.
No doubt. I've known a few people who've taken on, you know, because they one way or another, they couldn't have children of their own, or they really struggled and they wanted to adopt. This is a great way to do it. And, you know, there are kids, I don't know what the need is here in Manhattan or just in Kansas alone, but there are kids out there just waiting.
There are. So through our independent living program, we serve anywhere between 800 to 900 young people a year. So this year we were looking to help support 750 young people across the state of Kansas through our Hope for the Holidays project. And I, again, want the Manhattan community to hear just how incredibly grateful I am for their support and their continued support and how much it means to our young people. You know, we often get our young people, you know, when during years of prior where we've delivered presents to them face to face, we get tears of joy, just such expression of, I didn't know there was anybody out there thinking of me. You know, especially our young parents really, really are struggling. And this just tends to be a bright spot in their year. And in particular this year, it's a huge bright spot that they're still being thought of during a time where there's loneliness going around for all, and that need, that strong need for connection with others.
So, and just to mention here, it was gift cards that were given out this year. Normally you do gifts, but obviously COVID-19 played a role in that. But even yet, that's great. They can go and hopefully get themselves some necessities to help out.
At this point, if there's anyone that's still willing to participate, you can email an e-gift card and we'll make sure we'll get it out to a young person. My email is Stacy, Stacy dot Tidwell, Tidwell at ks.gov. And you'll be able to, you know, brighten someone's day, brighten someone's holiday season, and let them know that you're thinking of them and that you're cheering them on.
Yeah. And just because the holidays end after tomorrow doesn't mean that you can't support them year round.
Not at all. Like I said, I would encourage you to get involved in many of the ways that are available in the communities. You know, we see that profound need at the food banks that are going on this time of year, at the homeless shelters, doing whatever you can to help support single parents that may be struggling. If they need, you know, a ride to work during the cold weather, it's something that small that makes a huge impact in someone's life. And then all the way to supporting our foster families that are out there taking care of children and youth here in the state of Kansas, to becoming a foster parent or becoming an adoptive parent.
All right.
Well, all ways to make a huge, huge impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good stuff, Stacy. We're really proud that the program's doing so well here. It was really neat to see how much money was raised in our community, and hopefully we'll continue to see that grow here as time goes on.
We'd love to see that, and thanks for having us. And again, I cannot thank the Manhattan community enough. I went to you 15 years ago, and you completely responded and said, I want to help, and I want to support the young people out there.
Great. And she's Stacy Tidwell, Deputy Director of Youth Services for the Department for Children and Families here in the state of Kansas, and known well here in the Manhattan community for all of the work she does here with foster kids and those transitioning out. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. And I hope everybody listening is, you know, celebrating and connecting with those, maybe in a different forum, but connecting with those that they love and thinking of them.